Grace you in peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text for this morning is a portion of our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 4, where it states, "As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. 'Come, follow me,' Jesus said, 'and I will make you fishers of men.' At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." I'd like to spend a little bit of time this morning focusing on that word follow. How many of you ever played the game follow the leader growing up? I would assume most of you did at one time or another. I used to always think that was kind of a boring game because it was kind of easy. But I guess that's because I didn't really grow up with anyone named Steve Irwin or Bear Grylls. Had I grown up with all those guys, I may not have been able to follow them. But that being the case, I could usually climb any fence and jump off any rock that the leader did. So it just wasn't that difficult to follow the leader. And then in my early 20s, I went for the very first time to a health club aerobics class. And for the first time, following the leader was not that easy. It was very frustrating to me because as soon as I finally caught on to the move that the leader was doing, she would change to another move and I'd be lost again. And I realized rather quickly that I wasn't very good at following the leader. I wonder if perhaps the disciples of Jesus sometimes felt the same way about their ability to follow Jesus. For you see, Jesus didn't first summon these fishermen to believe in him or to worship him or to become students of his. He first summoned them to follow him, to go where he would go and to do what he would do. And they were, you know, pretty good at the going where he would go part of following, but they never fared too well with the doing part of following Jesus. When it came to that imitating part of doing what Jesus was doing, they too had a hard time catching on to the loving and the serving and the sacrificing that their leader, Jesus, was constantly doing. I would venture to say and guess that that's probably true for most of us still today, isn't it? We're pretty good at the believing part, the following Jesus, and the worshiping part, and the praying part, the Bible study part, the devotional part. We've got all that down. But we have a real struggle with the imitating and the doing part of following Jesus. And in many cases, we may not have even recognized that to follow the leader, we have to imitate the leader. For many of us, we may have become so comfortable with the rituals of our faith, the worship and the prayers and the study and such, that we may have lost sight of the fact that the expression and the evidence of our faith and of our being followers of Jesus is in the actions of our faith as we imitate Jesus. Some of Jesus' last words to his disciples, his followers, he said this: "Therefore, as you go, disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Notice the process of discipling, the process of making followers of others, is to baptize them and then to teach them to obey everything that Jesus had commanded. In other words, to make folks followers of Jesus, they need to become imitators of Jesus. And thus, for us to be disciples of Christ Jesus, followers of him, means that we must imitate him in the way that we live, in the way that we love, in the way we serve, the way we forgive. And so, just to be clear, for us to be disciples of Jesus means for us to be followers and imitators of Jesus, which means Christianity is not just about what we believe. It's also about what we do. And thus, James wrote in his epistle, "Show me your faith without your deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." Faith without deeds is dead. A few years back, I heard a formerly homeless man speak at a conference I was attending. And he talked about his journey into homelessness and then out of homelessness and then his journey into faith. And he talked about his many encounters with followers of Jesus and how many of them through his years on the street had invited him to Bible study and to worship. Finally, one day he asked one of these Christians, "Why do they always spend so much time Bible studying instead of Bible doing?" Phrased another way, he could have asked, "Why do Christians spend so much time believing in Jesus instead of really following Jesus?" It's a good question. It's kind of an uncomfortable question because it confronts us with our own sin. For though Jesus has called us through baptism to be his followers, and through faith, we all very much want to be his followers. The reality is that because of our sin, far too often, we aren't very good at following or imitating Jesus. No better than the disciples were throughout Jesus' ministry years. No better than I was at following and imitating my aerobics instructor. But you know what? I never got kicked out of that aerobics class because I wasn't good. And Jesus never fired his disciples because they weren't great imitators. And he won't ever get rid of us or write us off or let us go or ignore us because of our inability to follow him either. That's the power of his love. That's the promise of his cross. Because Jesus died and rose again, we are forgiven of all of our sins, even those sins which have to do with our inability to be faithful followers of Jesus. You know, St. Paul struggled with being a faithful follower and imitator of Jesus also. He wanted to imitate Jesus, and he tried to imitate Jesus, but time and again he failed to imitate Jesus. And it angered him, and it frustrated him, and it saddened him that he could not do better for the one who had done so much for him. And if you know that passage in Romans, he cries out, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" And then he answers his own question by saying, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." You and I, like Peter and Andrew and James and John, like the other disciples, like Paul, we've all been called to follow Jesus. Through baptism, we've not only been given a faith to believe in Jesus, but we've been washed of our sin and given God's Spirit and God's strength so that we might live as imitators and followers of Jesus. Now, it will probably never come easy to us, and we may never be very good at it, but it is what we are called to do. And so by God's grace, may we each desire to be more than mere believers in Jesus. May we each strive to be true followers of Jesus, imitating him in the way that we love and live and serve and forgive, knowing that in both success and failure, we are completely covered by his love. In the name of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior, amen.